Good evening, everyone. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John, please. 1 John, chapter number 5, very common passage that I'm looking at tonight. The world contains 7.4 billion people, approximately, give or take one or two. 6,500 different languages. 195 sovereign states or countries, plus about 60 that are disputed states, like Kosovo and others like that. There are 19 major world religions who are subdivided into some total of 270 large religious groups and many smaller ones, and also some independent churches like ours. The scriptures tell us that though there are all these people that speak all these different languages from all these different nations, from all these different religions and all these different walks of life, there's really only two groups as God looks down upon this earth. He sees two different groups. And we see that in 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These two groups are not divided by language, borders, denominational titles. They're really divided by one very simple word, and that word is the word yes. In regards to the question, will you believe the record that God has given you concerning His Son? Yes. Saying yes to salvation. The response yes is not just sounding out some letters. It's a word that expresses affirmation or consent. Whether you say in the English yes, whether you say in the French oui, or Spanish, si, or Hebrew, ken, Japanese, hi, and high German, ja, and low German, oba yo. Whether you speak Mandarin and go nadio, Hindi, you go ji or ha, Tagalog, you go ah, in Mandarin, you go sure, in the Arabic language, you go nahem. In Russian, you go da. In Kannada, suri. Whatever your language is, whatever vowels come out of your mouth, the word yes is a consent or an affirmation to something. And within the gospel context or the salvation context, what you're really saying is, yes, I believe what God has said concerning His Son. And really, it's simple. I don't want to complicate the matter tonight. It's actually very simple for us tonight. And I want to bring this across to us. But be sure that whether you say yes or no, or whether you say yes at all, it may be a little word, but in reality, it's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between heaven and hell. And it's the difference between salvation and damnation. That little word yes, or obayo, or ya, or whatever your language is, or da, it's a difference between heaven and hell. And that's what I want to bring across today, is explain how it is that you can know that you are saved, and how you can say yes to God for salvation. The first thing I want you to see is the source of the record. Now, I want you to see something here in verse number 7 of chapter 5. Now, this verse, to many, is disputed in some of the modern translations. To me, it's not a dispute at all. In fact, it belongs here. But if you have a modern translation, this verse is not in your Bible. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That means that we have a heavenly record or a heavenly witness of something that God has said and wants us to acknowledge, but its source is heaven, its source is God, its source is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The record of salvation is from God. It's from God. It's not a Baptist message. It's not a man's message at all. In fact, when Jesus came to earth, the Bible says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was no light on earth outside of Christ. So there was no message on this earth that could save a soul. There was nothing on this earth that could help us. So the source is God. The witness, the testimony. He's testified to us on how we can be saved. And we need to acknowledge that the source of a message that's going to save our soul is not something that man can devise or that man has come up with. This is a message that God Himself has sent down to earth for you. Sometimes we get distracted by the preacher or denomination, but I'm going to tell you something. If the message is that Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross, and they believe that He is the Son of God, and that He shed His blood for you, and that He buried and He rose again, that is a good message, and that's a message that's going to save your soul. Whether you like the preacher or not. Because the message is not from man, the message is from God. The record of salvation is from God. You see, this was a problem right in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 4, what you find is Cain and Abel. You have Cain who tries to offer to God some of the things that he is producing, some of the fruits and vegetables, and he says, obviously God's going to take something that I have and He's going to accept that, so I'll be accepted by Him. But God says, Cain, I can't accept that. But then you have Abel who took a lamb and shed the blood of that lamb, and the father says, now that I accept. Now why is that? Where did Abel get his information from? Abel got his information from God. It wasn't by osmosis. It wasn't that he just figured it out and said, well, this is probably the best way to do it. God told them to offer a lamb, and he offered a lamb. That's what real faith is. Real faith is doing what the Bible says to do. So he knew the source. The source of salvation. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. You know, if I die in my sins, and I don't die a saved individual, my life ends and everything about me ends. But if I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and then I give my life to follow after the Lord, the things that I do, the things that I do within the will of God abides forever, the Bible says. We want to leave a legacy. We want to leave something behind for our kids. Without Jesus, there is no legacy. The Scriptures reveal the record of salvation to mankind. And this is why Psalm 119 is so good, in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. That's where it begins. Heaven. It was perfect in heaven. That's where the record is from. The Father gave the words to the Son. The Son gave the words to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the words to the apostles. The apostles wrote it down in a book. And here we have the Bible. You understand how important it is to understand, to believe that? See, if you don't believe that we have in our hands God's Word or God's record, then you're believing that maybe God's record is still continuing. And that's why many people are going to hell today, because they're believing that there's extra biblical revelation and different things that God is still revealing to mankind. But no, God used specific men to write down this book. And it's complete. The Bible says, when the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So there you have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. A young man in Kenora one time, every time I went to the Kmart, what was it, Zellers back then, I think it was Zellers, and I tried to witness to this fellow, but every time I talked to him, he began to tell me about the Discovery Channel. And he'd tell me all the different things that the Discovery Channel taught him about where we came from, about evolution, about science, and all these different things. And so here I am trying to tell him that God has given us his record in the Bible and that he could be saved, but he says, oh no, you know, I watched on Discovery Channel. See, his source, his record was the wrong source. I never saw that young man get saved. Another man I talked to, I remember I tried to, right early on when I got there, I was trying to witness to him and lead him to Christ. I was looking at some property and he owned it, and I was trying to give him the gospel. And he said, oh, didn't you hear? And I said, no. He says, well, there's a priest in Europe that basically, you know, said that the resurrection didn't happen. Oh, wow. Well, thanks for letting the cat out of the bag. Thanks for enlightening me on that topic. I asked, well, who was this priest? Well, I'm not really sure who he was. Well, what was he trying to do? I really don't know. All I know is that there was a priest and he said the resurrection didn't happen. In this passage, what you'll see in verse number 9, read this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen. We got so many people that are basing their decisions on the witnesses of men. They don't even know what the guy's name is, but they're going to bank their eternal souls and their children's souls on some man that they don't even know lives across, halfway across the world, when they got God's word right in front of them and God's preacher telling them. We live in a wicked world. It's wicked. Somebody says to me, they said, what about all these people in Africa? There's nobody there to tell them. I says, great, let's go. But the fact of the matter is, I am far more concerned about people sitting right here in this room. They've got the preaching of the Word of God right in front of them, and they walk away lost. You tell me which is greater before God. You tell me who God says, what are they doing? Why don't they receive it? Why don't they believe it? We somehow think it's a harder thing for an African in the jungle, when there's people living around Bible preaching churches all the time that don't care. And they'll take the Discovery Channel over the Word of God, the source of the record. Number two, I want to look at the subject of the record. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The gift of eternal life. This is the subject of the matter. We sang the songs tonight, but everlasting is 'tis true, it said. 'Tis true that we have everlasting life. Wow, it's an amazing thing. Notice what it says in verse 11. And this is the record. So the record is what the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost have given to us from heaven. It's settled in heaven. There's no disputing up there. You can't argue with him about it. This is just the way it is. He sent it down to mankind. He gave it to us in a book. He says, I got it right in front of you. This isn't argumentable. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you watch Discovery Channel. It doesn't matter who the priest was. Or it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what your credentials are behind your name. Because I created those credentials that are behind your name. The letter D and the letter M and the letter D and the letter R. Wouldn't be for me, you wouldn't have letters to put there. That's what God would say. The gift of eternal life that God hath given. We are dead to God in our sins. That's the first thing we need to understand about salvation. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, because we're all sinners, right? Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving. I thought about that, the fearful. You know, there's people that won't get saved because they're scared of what somebody's going to think. There's people that won't get saved because they've been in church so long that they think if I say I need to get saved now, it's going to make me look bad. See, that's what makes up hell. That's what makes up the population of the lake of fire, the fearful. You're afraid. And we need to stop being fearful and receive the record and believe the record that God has given to us concerning His Son. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Death is simply the absence of life. Amen. Life, the source of life, is in God. The reason why I am experiencing death is because I'm alienated from the life of God. And I may have blood pumping through my heart, and I may have air going through my lungs, but I have no eternal life without Jesus Christ. Because I have no connection to God, who is the origin of life, eternal life. I have a form of life, but this life ends, this physical life. This heart will stop beating one day. My question is, what happens when the heart stops beating? And this life ends. Do I have a life after? I have a consciousness after. But if I have life after death, then I have to be connected to God after death. And I make that decision now by faith. See, death is separation. That's why he says, I need to give you eternal life. Because the wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, you're alienated from the life of God, which means that you're experiencing death. I say therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. That's Jesus talking. Can you imagine the somberness of that conversation? And Him looking at you, if you were that one, you were that Pharisee, He says, you're going to die in your sins. God gives us eternal life. God hath given to us. Give means to pass or transfer or to bestow, to pass or transfer the title or property of a thing to another person without an equivalent or compensation. That's what a gift is. So I'm giving you something without any compensation in return. So when he's saying that I want to give you eternal life, he's saying I'm giving you something, not expecting anything in return. Amen? The Bible talks about, of course, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of you at Christmas time, you've already received some gifts. Amen. Let me ask you, what did any of you do to get those gifts? Did any of you work for those gifts? If you worked for your gift, that wasn't a gift. Somebody's playing with you and they're on the wrong holiday. Amen? Because a gift is something you give freely without any compensation, without anything equivalent coming back at you. You're just giving it to them because you love them. I look at my kids and I say, man, I'd sure like to take away those presents because they don't deserve it. But I'm not giving you these presents because you deserve it. I'm giving you these presents because I love you, even though you don't deserve it. Amen? You want to use those gifts against your kids, don't you? If you're not going to be nice, I'm going to take away that gift. That's bad doctrine. That's Santa doctrine. That's bad doctrine. He's a false teacher. You know that. There's no not on your nice list. A gift is a gift. It's free. There's no equivalent. There's no compensation. It's something you give because of love. And that's exactly what God did for us. He gave us eternal life. So we have the eternal life as a subject. But there's another subject here we have to consider, because this life just doesn't come to us automatically. The Bible says, and this life is in His Son. So we have to remember the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And I thought about this passage in regards to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ brought life down to mankind. So He had life in heaven with God. They gave us the record that He's given us life. But the life had to come down to me somehow. Jesus said, I'll bring it to Him. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, let me find this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's talking about Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in Him was life. In Jesus. During the day where the Apostle John wrote his epistles here, they weren't questioning whether Jesus Christ died on the cross. In the first century, everybody knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen? They weren't saying, oh, that didn't happen, like Holocaust deniers. It happened. There's the proof is there. Everybody knew that Jesus Christ died. But the real question was, is Jesus Christ God? This is the key. It's not just that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The issue is Jesus Christ the Son of God? And that's what God says here. This is the record. The record is that I've given to you eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Not just any old son, but His Son. Amen? Now, Jesus Christ brought eternal life down to sinners. And the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, because that's our problem. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In 1 John 4 verse 3, this is what the Apostle John wrote concerning the false teachers there. It said, in every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It didn't say that confesses not that He died. They all knew He died. But the issue was, is whether He actually came in the flesh. Whether He existed before and came down to earth in the flesh. Amen? Because you didn't do that. You didn't come in the flesh when you were born. You've always been down here. And you started in Adam in the garden. You've never been above this earth. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the issue is whether Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Because that tells you that He is God. And so it says, Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 6. Look at what it says. I have pondered over this verse many times, and I think I've got it nailed down. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The water, I believe it's referring to, is his physical birth. He came by water. Just like when it says you must be born again, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Amen? Because it's a water birth is what it is. And blood. Why? Because God has no blood in his body. And in fact, in Jesus Christ's glorious body, there was no blood. But when Jesus Christ came down to earth and came as that little baby, he was born of water, but he also contained blood like a man. And the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is very important, because what Jesus was coming to do, being God himself, was coming to die in my place, to pay a price of sin for me on the cross of Calvary. And that had to include the shedding of his life, which was in the blood. And so he came by water and he came by the blood. Now that blood also refers to the atoning blood that he had to shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And that's why it was important to mention. The glorified body could not die, but that physical body could die. In Hebrews 2:9 it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Amen. He came and was born as a little baby in a manger, and was born of water, and had a body that had blood in it, so that he could give that blood for our sins on the cross of Calvary some 33 years later. That's fantastic. Do you believe the record? That he hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, capital S-O-N. Not just a son, but that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he existed before that manger, and he came down in the flesh and took upon himself a body that he could die for us in our place. This is very important. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. And that's why in John 14:6 it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I thought about this verse in John 5, verse 22. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." Amen. The word honor means to value. See, Jesus Christ is not honored when I believe that he is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jesus Christ is not honored when I believe that he used to be Michael the Archangel and came a man and then went back up to be Michael the Archangel again. He's not honored by that. He is honored when I say that you are God and you made all things and you came down in the flesh and took upon a body that could die for me. And you tasted death in my place. And you didn't deserve it, and I did. That honors him. And in honoring the Son, I honor the Father. Amen? It's very important what you think about Jesus. In fact, I think today we watered down sometimes the doctrine so much, we didn't know who Jesus is. We can stand next to somebody that believes a completely different Jesus, and we're talking the same language. It's like we're family. But when you start valuing the Son for who he is, that's when the line is drawn. That's when they say you're narrow-minded. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. The last, or John, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20. I should have told you to stay in chapter 5 there. Keep that open. And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Talking about Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. There is no salvation apart from Jesus. Now the third point I want to bring across is this. Submission to the record. Submission. Until now, all we've done is learn some things. All we're doing is putting some ideas in our mind. All we're doing is building some doctrines around what I think I believe about things. But now, how do I apply this? In 1 John 5, verse number 1, it says this, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Five times in this chapter, you'll find the word believe. The application of salvation is to believe the record. This is what it's all about, believing the record. That devil, he's a sly one, isn't he? It's very simple. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 5:24 it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What's the key word? What's the application? How do I apply this? The word believe. He didn't say believe and then go to church. He didn't say believe and then go get baptized and do this and do that and join the choir. These are all the answers I get when I knock on somebody's door and say, "How do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" "Well, I sing in the choir and I go to church and I give money in the offering. I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy and I've never shamed my mother or father at all. You know, I've done some, you know, I may have done some bad things, but I'm sure my good stuff outweighs my bad stuff." But the Bible says, believe. This is how we apply salvation. We apply salvation through belief. We believe the record that God who is in heaven says, "This is how it is. I've given you eternal life, and this life is in my Son. The life that I give testimony of, the life that I gave down through my Son and delivered him down and put him in that little body so that he could die and shed his blood for you." Believe. God help us if we're going to weigh anything against what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. If there's one thing I could do to be saved, then Jesus died in vain. Why would he have to go to a cross and suffer if I could do something to get saved? It was an urgent matter. He had to come. He said, "If there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me. If we can somehow teach these people to be good enough, let this cup pass from me. If maybe they can go to church enough, let this cup pass from me." But the Father says, "There is no other way, Son. You've got to die. There's no other way." But the devil complicates things. In 2 Corinthians 11:3 it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." It's so simple. It's simple that a child can be saved. And Jesus called the little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. People choose to believe or not to believe. You choose to believe what someone says, or you choose not to believe what someone says. But do you know something? A child believes a lot easier than we do. And sometimes we look at that in the negative. You know that 85% of people that are saved between the ages of 4 and 14? 4 and 14. You know that 10% are saved from the ages 15 to 30? Only 4% are saved after 30 years old. You tell me why. We look at the simplicity of a child's faith and trust as some kind of a negative, but God created it like that. He wants our children to be saved. He wants them at 4 years old to bow their head before Him. He wants them to receive Christ at that age. He designed the gospel that a 4-year-old could understand. It's simple. I'm not saying it wasn't expensive, but it's a simple application. Believe. As a 4-year-old child. Yet we look back as adults sometimes and we look back at our decision as a 4-year-old and say, oh, you know, I don't know if I really meant it then. And you know something, I doubt far more where you are now than you were then. Because as you grow older, what happens is you become embittered. You become hurt. Samuel Johnson said, we are inclined to believe those whom we do not know because they have never deceived us. You've got people around you in your life that have played tricks on you. They've deceived you. They've betrayed you. And for some reason, we turn that same mistrust to God. And at 30 years old, we're not willing to receive the gospel because someone hurt us, or this person hurt us, or this happened, or that happened, or that Christian's a hypocrite, or this, or that, and the other. And we'd rather go to the lake of fire and burn forever instead of receiving the record that God gave. Over 80% of people saved are saved between the age of 4 and 14, and there's a reason for that. Mostly children that age haven't been hurt like you have at your age. And the mistrust that you have with people. You somehow shift that mistrust over to God and say, then God must be like that too. I'm sorry, but God is not like that. God loves you. The Bible says His thoughts towards you are of peace. He sent His Son to die for you. He suffered on the cross for you, that you could live. How can you say that there's something wrong with our God? Sure, there's something wrong with men. We live in a dark world. We are a bunch of vile sinners. We're abominable. We're murderers. We're idolaters. We're sorcerers. But not God. God is just and He's right. And He's perfect and He's loving and He's peaceful and He's merciful. And He's long-suffering if you're sitting here that is lost tonight. He's long-suffering. He's waited for you. He's saying, I want you to come to Me. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Believing must come from the heart. In Romans 10:9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a difference between just believing something here or trusting something here. I look at that chair, and that chair, I believe, has all of its parts. I even believe that that chair has been assembled exactly the way it ought to be assembled. But until I sit down in that chair, I've never trusted the chair. And you may look at Jesus and say, oh yeah, he's pretty good. Oh yeah, he died on the cross and he rose. But salvation is in your heart belief. It's where you finally say to him, say, you know, Jesus, you did that for me. And you know what? I'm going to make you my Savior. I'm tired of man's witness. I'm tired of what this guy says and what that guy says. And I'm just going to look to that record in heaven and say, I believe you. I believe that you have given us eternal life. And I believe that this life is in your Son. And I'm just going to sit right down on Jesus today. And I'm going to rest here for a while. And then I'm going to learn to love him. And then I can serve him. He's something about a four-year-old. A four-year-old looks at the chair and says, oh, you want me to sit down? Sure. They don't know the size of bolts that are in the legs. They don't know what kind of wood this leg is made out of. All they know that there was a chair that they were supposed to sit down on. And that's how easy Jesus made it for us. We didn't understand all the ins and outs of salvation. All we knew is that God sent his Son to die for us and that we're a sinner. And if we receive him, we could be saved. There's a lot more to that chair than I understand. There's a lot more stitching. There's a lot more things that are underneath that are supporting it all and holding it all together. I've never seen that. But I don't need to sit down. And you don't need to know a whole lot more about Jesus either to trust him. You have to believe the record. That God in heaven told you that he gives you eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's two groups in this room. You may have 20 languages, nationalities, but God looks down and he sees two different distinct groups. Those that don't have the Son and those that do. Then he says, won't you believe on my Son? Won't you trust my Son in your heart? Then you can be saved. Amen. I like how simple Jesus makes things for us. Believing is receiving. You know, you have to receive God's word as God's word. If you don't receive God's word as God's word, then you don't even believe the thing I'm saying tonight. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Believing is receiving. You must receive the Son. In Colossians 2:6 it says, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, received Jesus Christ, our Lord. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word, received his word. John 1:11, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do you apply salvation? Believe. Believe. That's what the Bible says. Amen? There should be no dispute about that. If you are here tonight and you are lost, and you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, all you have to do is believe. And if you believe, you'll receive. If you receive, you'll be given as a free gift without any compensation or equivalent return, a free gift of eternal life. And that eternal life begins the moment you receive it. And that word eternal means perpetual. So that means when I receive eternal life, when I have the Son, I have Jesus, and I receive Jesus, I also receive perpetual life. Perpetual life is because since Jesus is in me, I'm now reconnected to life in heaven with God. And it's perpetual forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And all I have to do is believe. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Will you say yes to God for salvation? Will you say yes, I believe the record, preacher? Let me ask you this, as we're seated here just for a moment, you'd say, preacher, I believe the record that God has given to us concerning His Son. And you want to signify that by lifting up your hand. Say, I believe it. With all of my heart, I believe it. Amen. Amen. Now, maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor Friesen, when I came in here, I really didn't know what I believed. But all I know is I want to receive Jesus as my Savior tonight. I would like to be saved tonight. I don't want to call God a liar. He told me the truth. He told me how to be saved. And I'm the only one looking. Pastor Sullivan's looking. You'd say, I would like to receive Jesus as my Savior. Could you just slip your hand up so I could see that and I'll pray for you? And I won't point you out. I'd just like to pray for you. Christian, we got a great work ahead of us here. But let's keep the message simple. Let's tell others about Jesus. God is testifying. Are we testifying? Maybe you need to come forward. Maybe you need to pray for someone that you are burdened about their soul, that they would be saved. As we stand to our feet, our heads bowed, our eyes closed, as musicians play, you need to come forward tonight. Please come forward. If you're here tonight, you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you just need help to understand. Say, I don't know if I did. I'm a little confused about that. And you'd like some help. We're here to help you. We are your friends. And we would like to take the Bible and show you. If you'll come forward, we'll have someone take the scriptures and show you about salvation.